I'd like to direct our attention to a passage that captures, even though we all are getting older, what should be the focus of our duty. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Now, we all realize as we're turning there, Solomon was the wisest man that lived at that time in reality, probably wiser than many men living today. And I'd like to challenge you. Suppose this morning our lives were characterized over a one-year calendar. And I realize, you know, Lord willing, we live beyond a year of age. We're all here as proof of that. We don't know when we're going to die. But just imagine if your life was expressed just as, you know, a little child, maybe as a January 1st birthday. And we've seen that in some of the cartoons. And then old man winter, the old man as at the end of the year is there. And I know we don't age that much in 1 year. But just if you were to express your life over that year, and again, here's the child. I just want to ask you, which season of life are you? Maybe another way to express it, and then there we see the old man time, as sometimes he's called, you know, December 31st, as if that would be the end of your life. But let's say we express it as of March 31, you would be 20 years of age, or June 30, you would be 40 years of age. You get the point, end of third quarter, September 30, 60. And that doesn't mean when you turn 80 years old, you die that day. But how do we express? Where do we fit in this calendar? So today, if you're with me there, I can tell by your pages, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, I'd like to read the first 8 verses as we focus our attention on the destination, verses 1 through 8. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail. Because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets, or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. In this focus of destination, a challenge is first of all to consider our current opportunity. And here in the first verse, as Solomon expressed, remember now, presently. And Dr. Anderson did a great job this past Wednesday focusing on time. How do we use our time? Now, I hope you don't misunderstand this. I tried to connect with Facebook this summer. I was encouraged based on being with the Gospel Heralds, and that's 14 stories in itself, time we don't have this morning. But I really want to connect with the students, and here's my comment. And Dr. A said it very well, talking about, you know, in social settings, is it fair to spend 2 minutes in devotions and 30 minutes on Facebook? And again, I want to encourage you today, and don't start this page, don't invite me to join devotions before Facebook. It's an appropriate one, okay? I've been on there early, been on there late, middle of the day, and some of you just need a life because you're always there, okay? Balance, balance, balance. Same words my wife tells me, okay? But point is, when you look at presently, and we talk about the will of God. I sat where you sat. Okay, it wasn't in that specific chair because these chairs weren't here back in the 80s. But I sat where you sat in chapel. And I remember hearing about the will of God. And I thought, what will it be 20 years from now? But here's the reality of presently. It's right now, this minute. Serving God, walking with Him moment by moment. And you know, when you continue to walk with Him day by day, month by month, year by year, 20 years from now, you will be exactly where the Lord wants you to do. It's not discovering the will of God in 20 years. It's practicing this very moment. It's being alert. It's taking in the Word of God. It's listening to the Holy Spirit. Presently, remember now, personally, your creator. I mean, he's created us. He has all rights to our lives. And then practically, in the days of your youth. And again, as I know you sit here this morning and you're thinking, you know, you're older than me. I know that. And where are you in that calendar? You know, March 31, June 30, September 30, December 31. The reality, we don't know what our last day will be. James 4:14. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Serve the Lord now, presently, personally, practically. But also count the future inevitability. This physical deterioration as Solomon's going to work his way down through the list. And it's essentially this. It doesn't mean that as we get older we can't enjoy things. But he's saying as we age, and I said we, all of us, as we age, these things are less enjoyable. You know, when you'll get to the point, I have no pleasure in them. And as you go through my list, and you'll see this list I've tried to capture graphically, you'll be able to see, I've really expressed these in present terms, because that's what Solomon's doing. Solomon is saying, before the days come that you're not able to enjoy, presently, right now, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Because the day will come that, in this first thought, the intensity of the sunshine, well, the sun or the light be not darkened. It's not darkened yet. You can still enjoy it. But the day will come when you will not be able to. So that's the series of all these as we work down through Ecclesiastes 12. As we get to the final ones he gives, I do present the negative because death is the final part, humanly, physically. But you'll notice again, all these are stated in a positive sense. Remember your Creator now while you can still enjoy. And, you know, trust me, there are thousands of pictures. I went through 100 and I thought, well, I like this. Sunrise, sunset, however you want to do it. While the sun or the light be not darkened. I do want to comment, as a child, one of my favorite aunts, Lily Family's big, if you're not from around here, Lord bless you, you would know, Lily Family Reunion, blah, 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 it's big. One of my aunts lived near a lake, and she always was so dark. She was always so suntan, and I want to be even half as dark as Aunt Sue, because she just, nice tan. But it's interesting, as she got older, she actually got allergic to the sun. No cancer, but allergic to the sun. She can't get near it now, pale as a ghost. While the sun and lights are enjoyable, because at one time that intensity will not be as intense. Notice the perception of night lights as he continues there. While the moon or the stars be not darkened. And the way that I can see this, that Solomon is saying, when you get to the point when you're young, and I'm still trying to say I'm younger, okay? I'm still in that, well, anyway, I'm on the calendar like you're on the calendar. But you look out and you're like, wow, it's beautiful. Look at the moon, the stars, the planets, it's just all beautiful. But you know, the reality comes one day, it's not so romantic, it's not so nice. You're stumbling around in the dark, and you're like, I can't see, I need more light. So enjoy it while you can enjoy it. The next one, the exhilaration of rain, as he talks about when the clouds return after the rain. Okay, we have two of our very own enjoying previous weekend. If you didn't know about the Rainy Day Chronicles, you can check it out on Facebook. They enjoyed the rain. How about the point comes as we get older, we don't want to play out in the rain. We don't want to enjoy it as much. The stability of stamina is another one that Solomon expresses. The keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves. You know, simply, I did it too quickly, didn't I? Yep. Simply, it's the idea as steadiness is replaced with shakiness. You know, I could take all of us to the VA hospital today in a generation we appropriately called America's finest. Our men that fought for us to have freedom today, World War II, this is now expressing their physical condition, they're bent over. These men that were so strong, that fought for us, fought for our freedom, it is a reality, this stability of stamina becomes that. The enjoyment of food, yeah, got a little ahead of myself there. If you notice, the grinders cease because they are few. Now, I know you can gum food, but it's much more enjoyable to chew it, right? We don't look forward to applesauce and Swiss Miss pudding is all we can enjoy. We still want that filet mignon, I know. Need those grinders, need those teeth to be able to enjoy that. Notice the clarity of vision. As he points out, those that look out the windows be darkened. Reality, we just do not see as well as we get older. We need those glasses. And it's okay if you need them now. It's okay. Trust me, they just get stronger and stronger and stronger as we get older. But also the clarity of vision, the acuity of hearing. I like this graphic. Notice, and the doors shut up. And as he points out here in several of these verses, verse 4, I think these go together. The doors will be shut in the streets, and all the daughters of the music shall be brought low. The second one I missed there. When the sound of the grinding is low. Apparently the grinding was the sound as it came from the mill, grinding the corn or grinding the wheat. And in verse 4, is the end of verse 4, all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Point is, we just don't hear as well. Now, ladies, get used to this. Lord tarries, you get married, you will hear from your future husband, I promise you. I didn't quite hear that, dear. What were you saying? Excuse me, can you repeat that? It's called selective hearing, but it could also be degenerative hearing. We just don't hear as well. I promise, we really don't. The restfulness of sleep. And notice this picture that he's rising up at the voice of the bird. He's waking up often. If you want to say he's getting up with the birds. And my dad has said, and I'm privileged to still have my dad with me. In fact, he is 80 years of age as of June. But I've heard him say for years he needs less and less rest. You know, through the night, he's getting up frequently. And that's what happens, that, you know, it's the sound of the bird. We're getting up quickly. But notice the fearless of risks. You know, he shall be afraid of that which is high. You know, at this point, you know, I'm happy to hang 10 and get here to the edge. And, you know, that's no big deal. But the day will come and be like, ooh, ooh, stay away from the edge. Or a ladder, as I'm using in the illustration. You know, the fears as you're traveling in the way, you know, you could also understand that the traveled path, being fearless of those risks. A man used to be called thrill seeker by his wife. Now he's afraid to do anything that risks harm or he could fall. Notice the vigor of youthfulness that Solomon points out. And there are several thoughts he has here. The almond tree shall flourish. The almond tree is white. So like being white on top, you know, again, for some of us, this won't happen. But, you know, it's okay. Lord loves me anyway. Wife does too. But, you know, normally in aging process, white on top, older person's head. A grasshopper is a burden. And it was interesting as I looked at this, J. Vernon McGee pointed out, what used to be a no big thing, grasshopper's a little small thing. It now reaches a point, it's a burden. Everything weighs down. Even the little insignificant things weigh so much. The grasshopper is a burden. What was an annoyance is now overwhelming. And desire shall fail. I mean, he says it here. No longer interested in romance. I mean, this is what Solomon is saying as part of aging. It is inevitable. Younger men become older men. Younger women become older women. And then the fullness of life, our last one here in this, next to the last one here in our list. The man goeth to his long, to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. He's giving the picture of this funeral processional. And as we all age, again, we have more and more friends that pass into eternity. I remember my dad saying, I don't remember what age, but he said, I have more on the other side than I have on this side. And I think it's reflective of, as you live to be older, and you have classmates that pass away, especially you go back for, heaven forbid, a 25th high school reunion, you're thinking, no way, I'll never live that long. I have 25th reunion, and unfortunately there are some that have passed away. Then his vivid imagery of these body organs. And it's like, you know, you could have just said, we die, Solomon. But instead he chooses to have these vivid images. And notice with me, the silver cord be loosed. You know, frankly, he's talking about the spinal cord being severed. That's not very edifying, I know. The golden bowl be broken. Our brain will fail. The pitcher be broken at the fountain or the spring. And he's referring to the lungs collapse. The wheel broken at the cistern. that our heart will fail to pump. And again, I'm not here trying to be a downer. This is what Solomon is saying. This is a natural progression. And notice the verb with each of these, loosed, broken, broken, broken. You know, Solomon, just say we die, okay? But it's this vivid imagery of what's going to occur, what's going to happen. And I appreciate that, you know, if you want to see the graphics that I've put up there, come on. The batteries, okay, good. We're good here. The spinal cord, the brain, the lungs, the heart, all of those will fail. And I appreciate the NIV expresses this in verse 6. It reiterates the phrase from verse 1. It says, remember him before these things occur. Remember him. And then ultimately, in verse 7, as we come to what was physical deterioration, now he's going to express as the physical death. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit of man return to the Creator Father. Hebrews 9:27 is inevitable. And as is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And then, as I'm expressing, physical determinism, and I'm not here to give a lecture today on philosophy. You wouldn't want to hear it. We don't have time for it. But as Solomon said clearly throughout the book, vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity. From the human level, not spiritual, from the human level, as Solomon declared so frequently, if all there was from life were these physical processes that result in death, what good is it? All is vanity. All is meaningless. Now, again, that's not Solomon's conclusion as we know. But part of what I want to point out to you today is just an application from this first part is the point of our focus of destination. This is where we're going. It's a reality. The focus of the destination is to realize right now, this moment, we have a current opportunity before the future inevitability that we will no longer have the ability or life, that right now we have this current ability to serve the Lord and serve others. That's what we should be doing. And then we're going to notice the focus of our duty in verses 9 through 16. If you'll follow along with me. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further by these, my son, be admonished. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So in his focus of duty, he points out, here's some truthful words that are to guide to guide you to instruct. And again, from verse 9, Solomon does not have this fatalistic view that man dies as animals cease to exist. He's just saying, I want to set in order these proverbs I want to teach you. Solomon was diligent in verse 10 to say, I want to give you appropriate, truthful words, words of truth. You know, the context of proverbs, and most of us realize this, as Solomon's writing, at times he would say, my son, or my sons. He was trying to give them practical instruction to make sure they could be ready for life. Just one good truth, Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Solomon was also determined to have memorable words there in verse 11. He talks about goads. They're those to encourage us as nails fastened, penetrating, given from the shepherd. So simply, penetrating phrases that convict us, they lead us. And Solomon points out, is given by one shepherd, ultimately the Lord Jesus, the ultimate leader, how that he teaches through his under-shepherds, those responsible to watch over our souls and our spiritual growth. Whether these phrases are must-heards, like we've heard at the beginning of this semester, they're illustrations that sink deep in our memories, or meaningful visuals that we can easily picture. So let me ask you, there was a visual that was given to us in May 2009 during our spring Bible conference that Dr. Anderson challenged each of us to pray for one of our leaders. Do you remember what that visual was? I heard it. Thank you. It was me. You're to pray for Pastor Minnow Kalischer. So just one moment, and I have a special message for you from Pastor Kalischer, okay? Shalom. My friends here in southern West Virginia, it's good to see you this morning. I too am southerner. I'm from southern Jerusalem, the Jerusalem Assembly. And I appreciate your prayers for me and my family. Mr. Kinlilly told me just this past week, one of our dear students was praying for me and my family. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Speaking of Mr. Lilly, I have special prayer requests for him. He is, how do you say in English? He is disillusioned, delusional, probably same thing. Mr. Lilly think that God's favorite football team is Dallas Cowboys. What is his problem? Please pray for him. He not understand. I tried to tell Mr. Lilly, look, God's favorite football team does not play on Sunday. They rest on Sunday. It's the first day of the week. Besides, if God had favored football team, it probably would be white ball called soccer, right? My European friends, my South American friends, we see, of course, this oblong-shaped football, crazy. But, special message, Mr. David James Holloway, please stand. Mr. Holloway, please stand right there, please. Just right there, thank you. Mr. Lilly, tell me all about your favorite football team, the New England Cheatriots. Yes. How they're coached by Bill Belichick. Yes. He told me all about it, Mr. Holloway. So today, Mr. Holloway, I have a special message for you from Mr. Lilly. The message is you should admit that they cheat. They've been caught. Admit they've been cheat. And simply, Mr. Holloway, just swallow the frog. Swallow the frog. Please be seated. Shalom, my friend. You good friend. I also remind you, Mr. Holloway, your turn in 2 weeks to lead here in chapel. Get him good, okay? Payday, come to him. I look forward. I'll be here. I will see what you do. I look forward. Final word for all of you, my dear brothers and sisters, come from 1 John 1:7. I prefer to say in Hebrew, but you don't understand what I say. So one day in heaven, we all speak heavenly language, Hebrew. But until then, I give you my very best in English. We should walk in sunlight, and I mean sun, S-O-N, sunlight. As the Son of God is the light, we have fellowship. You know what fellowship is? Two fellows in sheep. They go together. Partnership. Participation is the point that in 1 John. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, keeps cleansing us from all sin. So young persons, keep walking in the light of the sun. Shalom. I must leave so Mr. Lilly can return. Shalom. Yeah, where am I in the notes? So as we were pointing out, Solomon was determined to have memorable words, at times illustrations, and Mr. Holloway does have a chance in 2 weeks. Stay tuned. You do not want to miss that. But Solomon points out as we are getting through this, and now I was supposed to do this before I stepped away. Have you been praying for Pastor Minnow Kalischer? We get the point. But Solomon points out the importance of balance. Here in verse 12, be admonished, as he says, many books, much study, is a weariness. Now, I know for some of you, you're like, yeah, dude, I got too much work to do. I have no concern for some of you. Some of you look for a cop-out to study. There are a few of you that could have the danger of studying too much. Most of you are fine. But the point is, it's balance. And that's part of what Solomon's pointing out. Then notice, as we're wrapping this up, totality of wisdom as the guideline to embrace. Here's his penetrating conclusion. This is the whole duty of man. This is it. Fear God and keep his commandments. Fear God and keep his commandments. Just as the Shema back in Deuteronomy 6 and repeated in many New Testament passages. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy mind, thy soul, thy strength. And then you love your neighbor as yourself. If we do that, All the rest will be appropriately prioritized. Like Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And then here's our perplexing challenge found in verse 14. For God shall bring every work into judgment. God is watching. I quoted Hebrews 9:27 a moment ago. And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. That's both comforting. He's always with us. That's also convicting. He's always watching us. As a reminder, one day we will give an account, whether good or evil. So for our two thoughts today, the point of our focus of remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, right now today. It's not 20 years from now you'll be doing God's will. I hope you will. But now, tomorrow, the day after, moment by moment, and as the Lord tarries, remember now thy Creator. And secondly, the focus of that duty, fear God and keep his commandments. Father, we thank you today for your word. It is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. And even though moments that we can smile and moments we can even chuckle, one day we will stand before you and we will give an account of our lives, how we used even this chapel hour, how we use next hour and the hour after. I thank you for these dear students and for staff. I appreciate the privilege to be alongside of them. Father, our duty is to focus on serving you now, presently, our Creator in the days of our youth, because the day will come and we will not be able to do that physically anymore. And Father, you want us to focus that duty by fearing you and keeping your commandments. May that be our passion. May that be so evident in our lives. Thank you again for this morning. Father, may our lives be different because of the Word of God working in our hearts and lives, as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.